The wine headache that is in those heads is not relieved by five, nor by 500,000. Visit once a week is not the ration for lovers. The soul of the sincere has an intense craving to drink. Visit once a week is not the ration for fishes, since they feel no spiritual joy without the sea. Notwithstanding the crop sickness of the fishes, the water of this sea, which is a tremendous place, is but a single draught. To the lover, one moment of separation is as a year. To him, a year's uninterrupted union is a fancy. Love craves to drink and seeks him who craves to drink. This and that are at each other's heels like day and night.
Yeah. So, what is he talking about? Exaggerating to everything to explain the love. And love is seek to drink. Mustaspi means somebody who drinks constantly. This is mustaspi, right? He says love is mustaspi, and we look for the people who are mustaspi. Everything is istisqa, means wanting the water too much. Yes.
Day is in love with night and has lost control of itself. When you look, night is more in love with it. Never for one instant do they cease from seeking. Never for one moment do they cease from pursuing each other. This one has caught the foot of that one, and that one the ear of this one. This one is distraught with that one, and that one is beside himself for this one. In the heart of the beloved, the lover is all. Vamik is always in the heart of Atra.
Yeah, this is Vamik Atra. There are two famous lovers' stories, and I will say, this is what love does. The magic is that in the heart of the beloved is only the lover. Yes?
In the lover's heart is naught but the beloved. There is nothing to separate and divide them. These two bells are on one camel. How then, in regard to these twain, should visit once a week be admissible? Did anyone pay recurring visits to himself? Was anyone a companion to himself at regular intervals? That is not the oneness that reason apprehends. The apprehension of this depends on a man's dying. And if it were possible to perceive this by means of reason, wherefore should self-violence have become a duty? How, with such mercy as he hath, would the king of intellect say unnecessarily, kill thyself?
A perfect explanation. What was that? This is it. I want to talk about love, and the story of love is beyond the logic. If logically it was possible, then we are not talking about the ego. You see that we always say you have to quit your ego. Why? Because it's opposite of the love. Ego is selfishness. Well, I have to get rid of my ego. My nafs. Why? Because it stops me to be a lover. I will be self-appreciator. which is the cow. Oh yeah, that's the animal. This is it. Our difference is to be somewhere that the animals could not. This is what he's trying to explain to us here. Yes?
Habermas exerted himself to the utmost in supplication and humble entreaty, and besought the water frog to grant him access. He said, "Oh, dear and affectionate friend, without thy face I have not a moment's rest. By day thou art my light and acquisition and strength. By night thou art my rest and comfort and sleep. It would be a generous act if thou wouldst make me happy and kindly remember me early and late. During a day and night thou hast allowed me breakfast time in access, O well-wisher. I feel in my liver 500 cravings for drink, and bulimia is conjoined with every craving. Thou, O prince, art unconcerned with my passion. Pay the poor tax on thy high estate. Look on this poor wretch. This poor, unmannerly wretch is not worthy, but thy universal grace is superior to that."
That's it, the exaggeration. He is doing what? Just playing with the words, because he wants to have something. He wants to be able to see this fellow wherever he wants, whatever he wants. He exaggerates and he will go up to the end that, okay, even if I'm not good enough, Your Highness, you're... What does that mean? That if I'm not good enough, you are kind enough. Exaggeration for what? That is the point. Yes.
Thy universal grace requires no support. The sun strikes on ordure.
You see the exaggeration? You know what? You are like the sun. Sun is a beautiful one. Therefore, he will shine even on the shit. Yes. The sun will shine on the shit and the reflection is not shitty. Sun is clean. What? What's the use? What is going on here? Yes.
So that the ordure goes into a bath furnace. Oh, I'm sorry. Its light suffers no loss thereby, and the ordure is made dry and fuel, so that the ordure goes into a bath furnace, is converted into light, and illumines the door and wall of a bathhouse.
And the sun will shine and that piece of shit will be dried, then it will be carried, pulled in the oven, and the fire and the light comes up out of the shit, you see? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
It was a defilement. Now it has become an adornment since the sun chanted that spell upon it. The sun also warms the belly of the earth, so that the earth consumes the remaining ordure. They become a part of the earth, and herbage springs up from them. Even so doth God wipe out evil actions. To ordure, which is the worst, he does this, that he makes it herbage, and narcissus, and eglantine. What God bestows in recompense and bounty on the eglantine of devotion faithfully, since he confers such a robe of honor on the wicked, what he bestows on the righteous in the place where he waits.
Just imagine, when he, the creator, is doing this with the shed, transforming it to become the source of light, then imagine what could it do with you. Yes.
God gives them that which no eye sorry. God gives them that which no eye hath beheld. That
this is it. I'm talking about something which doesn't come even in the language. It's not that expressible. Yes?
That which is not comprehensible in any tongue or language. Who are we to this? Come, my friend, make my day bright with goodly disposition. Do not regard my ugliness and hatefulness, though I am as venomous as a mountain snake. Oh, I am ugly, and all my qualities are ugly. Since he planted me as a thorn, how should I become a rose?
Here, suddenly, I'm not that guilty because I'm not good, but who made me that? Who made me bad? Do you remember all the conversation we had about the choice and being free and all of that? The excuse was the fellow who said, okay, I'm born lazy. God created me lazy. So God, please give me everything. I cannot work. Do you remember this story? All is here in maximum exaggeration. Yes.
Bestow on the thorn the springtide of the rose's beauty. Bestow on this snake the loveliness of the peacock. I have reached the limit in perfection of ugliness. Thy grace has reached the limit in excellence and accomplishment. Do thou grant the boon sought by this consummate one from that consummate one, O thou who art the envy of the tall cypress. When I die, thy bounty, though it is exempt from need, will weep for kindness' sake. It will sit beside my grave a long while. Tears will gush from its gracious eye. It will mourn for my deprivation. It will shut its eyes to my abjectness. Bestow a little of those favors now. Put a few of those words as a ring into my ear. That which thou wilt say to my dust, strew it upon my sorrowful perception.
Yeah. What did you hear? Exaggeration upon exaggeration to go somewhere to explain something which is not explainable. And it's not like this, because this is just begging for something, asking for something. All the explanation is excuse, because he wants to have what he likes. What for? Why? You didn't hear all of that. Now hear the rest of it, yes.
How the mouse humbly entreated the frog, saying, do not think of pretexts, and do not defer the fulfillment of this request of mine, for there are dangers in delay, and the Sufi is the son of the moment. A son does not withdraw his hand from the skirt of his father, and the Sufi's kind father, who is the moment, does not let him be reduced to the necessity of looking to the morrow, keeps him all the while absorbed, unlike the common folk, in the garden of his swift reckoning. He does not wait for the future. He is of the river, not of time, for with God is neither morn nor eve. There the past and the future, and time without beginning and time without end, do not exist. Adam is not prior, nor is Dajjal posterior. These terms belong to the domain of the particular reason and the animal soul. They are not in the non-spatial and non-temporal world. Therefore, he is the son of that moment by which is to be understood only a denial as a division of times, just as God is one is to be understood as a denial of duality, not as the real nature of unity.